إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him and bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Today, inshallah, we are going to explore a surah in the Quran. And the Quran, the names of the surah, are picked after a very important concept that is being highlighted by this specific or this particular surah. In the current surah that we are using today, the name is picked after the example of the foolish spider. And we would get to know who is that foolish spider. If we look at Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, we find that the name of the surah is picked after the story of the foolish people. Who are those foolish people? We know the story of the people that Allah told them to slaughter a cow. And they were so foolish and ignorant that they didn't slaughter the cow right away. They kept nagging about it and giving a hard time to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. What color it is? Okay, golden color. How does it look like? Okay, golden pure color without any defects, without any birthmarks. Okay, now what is the nature of this cow? The nature of this cow? Spoiled the brat cow. A cow that never ever worked in the farm. It's just a spoiled brat beauty. That's exactly what they ended up with. They ended up with a cow that is golden color and spoiled brat beauty cow that never worked in the farm. And then at the end, there was only one cow that they can slaughter because there was only one cow of this kind in this whole entire world. And then they had to pay a price for it equal to its weight of gold. So the owner of the cow said, put the cow on one side of the balance of the scale and fill the other side with pieces of gold until they are even. And this would be the price that I would accept for this cow. So at the beginning, if they would have picked up any cow, normal cow, and paid the normal price, which was cheap price, they would have executed the commands of Allah, and that's what the only thing that Allah asked them to do. That would have been sufficient, and Allah would have been pleased with them. But because they are so foolish and ignorant, they ended up asking many questions, and they ended up falling into trouble. At the end, they got a threat from Prophet Musa. If they don't slaughter the cow, they would be punished. And under this very severe threat, they complied under pressure and slaughtered the cow. So the name of the surah, well, as soon as you hear the surah al-Baqarah, the surah of the cow, you immediately remember that story, and you immediately remember this lesson, and you immediately benefit from that lesson. The surah that we will explore today is called the surah of the spider. The surah is named after the example of the foolish spider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that foolish spider in verse 41 of the surah. And this is how the surah got its name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that ayah, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءُ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبِيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. That Allah is saying, the example of the ones who resort for support to other than Allah, who treat others the way Allah should have been treated, seeking support, seeking protection or support from that other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are like the example of the foolish spider. The foolish spider resort to its house for protection. And indeed, the وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبِيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. And indeed, the house of the spider is the weakest house. The house of the spider is a false deceiving house. Why? Because it does not provide shelter or protection. But the foolish spider doesn't know that. So as soon as
this spider feels that he or she wants a protection or shelter, they run to their house. But hey, this house is a false and deceiving house. It's not going to provide you the shelter and protection you're looking for. So that's why it's being called the foolish or the ignorant spider. So that's the example given in the surah. Now, the surah highlights that, also that important concept of the people who build their establishments on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established on earth. They build their establishment and this civilization on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. They are the ones who are resorting. They are acting like the foolish spider who resorts to his or her house for shelter and protection. The example is a beautiful example to convey the meaning. And this is why Allah selected this particular example. However, at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this surah was revealed, the kuffar had a big, big laugh. And they made a lot of fun of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ha ha, Muhammad, your God loves insects so much. Your God, the Quran that you brought, have a lot of insects mentioned in it. There is Surah An-Naml, the chapter of the ants. You have Surah An-Nahl, the chapter of the bees. And then you have the example of the flies. لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. That they are not going to create a fly even if they gather their own powers together. And here we go. This is the... now we are talking about spiders here, Muhammad. What is wrong with you and your God? Can't your God come up with better examples than the example of these insects? Come on. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to this statement in Surah Al-Baqarah in verse 26, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't shy away from giving the example of a mosquito, فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, and smaller than the mosquito. Even mosquito or lower than the mosquito or smaller than the mosquito, Allah will not shy away from using these as examples. Why? فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. The people, the believers, they don't get stuck on the cosmetic value of the example. They don't get stuck of whatever appears from the outside, a spider or mosquito or whatever. They look into the meaning of the example. The moral of the example, the lesson to be taught by the example, they look at it, they benefit from it. They have deep thinking. They have deep looks and deep thinking that they can go inside into the meaning and look at the deep meaning and benefit from it. But the non-believers, because they are looking for trouble, they are looking for reasons to make fun of the Prophet, they're looking for opportunities to make fun and to turn people away from the religion of Allah. They come and say, what kind of example of this? مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. What kind of example of this? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, this example will benefit believers and will harm non-believers because they are looking for trouble. It's going to trouble them and is going to push them away from Quran further and further. But believers will benefit from it and will not get stuck with the cosmetic value. The big lesson of this example, the example of the foolish spider, that if we build our life, if we build our civilization, if we build our existence, if we build our government, if we build our organization, if we build our existence, our life, on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, we will be like the foolish spider. We will be like the spider who resorts to his or her house for protection and shelter. And it is a false, deceiving house. It is called house, but it's not actually a house. It looks like a house, but it doesn't. But the reality is, this is not a house. The reality is, this house does not provide any protection or shelter. That's the reality. But from the outside, it looks like a house. So it is the example of the foolish spider who resorts to the house for shelter and protection. Is exactly the people who establish any kind of civilization, any kind of structure, any kind of organization on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and ordained. This is the example of the foolish spider. And to confirm the meaning, Allah in the next verse, which is verse 42, says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah knows very well that whatever they are resorting to, whatever they are treating the way Allah should have been treated, is nothing. مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ is nothing. It's nothing. It is just like the foolish spider house. The foolish spider that resorts to house for protection. It's nothing. This house is nothing. It is just looks like that, but it's nothing. The reality, it's nothing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is the most mighty, the most powerful. He is the owner of Izzah. You are resorting to other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. You are treating others the way Allah should have been treated. Seeking power, seeking Izzah, seeking Allah is Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. If you truly seek Izzah, seek it from Allah. He is the true owner of Izzah. He is the one who grants you Izzah. And the word Izzah means to have so much power and protection that nobody will dare to insult you or to put you down. That whatever you want, you will have it. And no one can override your word. And whatever you demand, whatever you command, whatever you ordain, will take place. Nobody will be able to stop you, to stop it from happening. This is the meaning of the word Izzah. And this is what we seek. And Allah is saying, the foolish spider is seeking Izzah in his own house. Is seeking protection and shelter in his own house. And those who seek Izzah from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are seeking Izzah from the house of the spider. Why? Because the Izzah that you see today, that people have right now, it's a temporary Izzah. It's a false deceiving Izzah, like the false deceiving house of the spider. It's not truly a Izzah. First of all, it's short term. It ends. And this person who was a king, sitting on a chair, having a throne, will end up 6 foot underground. And the ants of the earth will eat his body. Not to mention that in this life he's carrying in his tummy bathroom stuff. And nasty stuff that he needs to go to the bathroom to get rid of. That is the person whom you're seeking Izzah from. Is that the person? Is that the person that you think the true owner of Izzah? No. The everlasting Izzah is in the hands of Allah. Then why this person is getting Izzah? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the house of the spider that way and the spider who is being fooled that way? Why did Allah make people have what appears to be Izzah, but it's not truly Izzah? It is because of the reason this surah is revealed, which is the concept of fitna. The concept of fitna. So what is that concept of fitna that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Now, before we go there, the third verse after that, which is verse 43, Allah confirming that وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ مَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُهَا وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالَمُونَ إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. These examples, again, the examples are given to the true believers who have deep thoughts, who can look beyond the cosmetic value, a spider, ant, bee, fly, mosquito. They are looking beyond these examples and learning the lesson from this example. And the bad guys are the ones who make fun of the Prophet and say, oh, your God loves the insects. Why is he using these examples? Now, why people are making, what's the reason for people falling into that mistake? What is it the reason for Allah to make something a house of a spider that looks like a house, but it's not a house. It is well explained in the surah. The surah talks about the word fitna, and the surah is dedicated to the concept of fitna. What is that concept of fitna? The fitna is to test, to show the truth about everybody. Allah wants to show the truth about me, about you, about him, about her. Ha, Allah is the truth. He himself is the truth. And he doesn't like any other than the truth. Doesn't like the deception of the, and the faking and the hypocrisy and the false statements. He doesn't like that. He wants to show the truth about you and me. How does he show that? It is simple. If you have the example of a teacher, and this teacher has students, and the students, every one of them brags and says, I can get A plus in this course. I know the stuff by heart. I study and did all my homework. I. They make false claims. The teacher, in order for the teacher to show the truth about every student, the teacher will give a test. To show the truth about you and me and him and her, so that everybody will show who actually is he or she. We would show that through real life. The stinginess will demonstrate his or her stinginess in this normal life. The mean, the thief, the dishonest, the bad will show and demonstrate his or her truth, the truth about themselves, by actually doing actual activities and making actual decisions and doing actual things. So they would show, the stingy would show his or her stinginess. The coward would show his or her own cowardness. The mean, the nasty would show this about themselves. The one who cares, the greedy, the person who has a heart full of hate, those people would show exactly who they are. How? By running them through these trials and tests of this life. And that is one of the reasons that explains why Allah created his own opposite. Why did Allah create the shaitan, who stands for every opposite, who stands as an opposite for every thing that Allah has? Allah is the truth, shaitan is the deception. Allah is the kind, shaitan is the mean. Allah is the just, shaitan is the unjust. Opposite. Why would Allah create his own opposite? And why did Allah give power and ability to his own opposite to appear and to invite people and to deceive people and make them like the foolish spider? Why? It is because Allah wants us to be tested, wants to show the truth about us. That is one reason. Another reason is for us to benefit by recognizing Allah. How is that useful in recognizing Allah? We can recognize Allah by contrast. By contrast, we will never appreciate the light without experiencing the dark. We will never appreciate the sweet without experiencing the sour. We will never appreciate the justice without suffering from the injustice. Look at the injustice that are taking place today. When we go through it, and we know that Allah is the most just, then we appreciate that. Because we see the challenge, we see the quality. But let me give you an example. If all the food on this earth is sweet, and there is nothing called sour food, doesn't exist, and then I give you a piece of the chocolate, and you eat this piece of the chocolate, and then I ask you, is it sweet? The answer would be, what do you mean sweet? It's normal. I mean, no, it's sweet. No, it's normal. Like all other food, they are all like that. I don't feel any difference. There is no contrast between this and anything else. But in order to appreciate the sweet, we have to experience the sour. Then, yes, now I appreciate the sweet. So how can we appreciate the justice of Allah, the kindness of Allah, without suffering from the injustice of the shaitan and the meanness of the shaitan? Can I claim credit by breathing? Can I say I am a magnificent person I want to show you my greatness. I'm going to show you my greatness by breathing. No, there is nothing challenging about breathing. Breathing is a natural thing. It happens naturally. There's no challenge. Therefore, you don't get credit for it. In order for me to show you my greatness, I have to show you something challenging that I am doing opposite to what others are doing. For example, Allah is demonstrating His subhanahu wa ta'ala, His kindness and greatness and generosity by showing you the opposite. Then you can see you can see the challenge and you see the quality of Allah being above and beyond these kind of manners, the manners of the shaitan, the evil temptations, the selfishness and the greed and the injustice and all of that. So that's another reason. So it's a reason number one, it's a test. You're being invited to the opposite of Allah and to Allah, and you get to choose for yourself. And the second, for us to benefit from knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the concept of contrast. Now, another question people ask and say, why am I being tested? Why Allah is testing me? I mean, I don't want to be tested. Well, if people in this life go to school and go to universities and take very difficult tests to be a doctor, to be an engineer, to make money, to have a good life, you have to study very hard and take very, very difficult tests. Did anybody force you to take these tests? No. You chose to pay money and enroll in the college and pay very expensive tuition to take very difficult, mind-challenging courses and sit for these exams. Why? Because you want to benefit. What do you think if Allah announces to everybody, okay, I have an exam for you. The reward of this exam is not to be a doctor or engineer a successful businessman. No, the purpose of this exam is everlasting happy life in Jannah. Everybody would sign up. If I signed up for a test to be an engineer or a doctor, I would definitely sign up for a test to give me an everlasting happy life. So Allah knew ahead of time. And He offered us, as He stated in Surah Al-An'am, that He has offered us the trust. And we all accepted that. We all accepted to take the test. And the ones who did not accept, the souls that rejected this test, Allah did not give these souls the test. We know the ayah, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Yeah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the souls out of the children of Adam ahead of time and made them testify that He is their Lord, and they have accepted the test, to take the test. إِنَّ عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. That Allah has offered this test to the mountains, to the skies, and to the sun and the moon. They all rejected the test. And they said, Ya Allah, we want to be submissive to you by force. Ya Allah, control us by the laws of nature that we cannot break even if we try to. Control us by these laws. Don't give us the trust that you give us the rules of Islam, and then we have the choice to follow them or not to follow them. The humans said, yes, we will accept this test. So Allah gave us the test to show the truth about every one of us. So this is the reason Allah is giving a test, and indeed it's a fair reason. At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had explained that His purpose is to classify believers. His purpose of subjecting us to fitna is to classify believers into even ranks and grades. So even the good guys are being classified through these fitna. If you look at in the Arabic dictionary of the meaning of the word fitna, the linguistic meaning of the word fitna, it means to separate the gold from cheap metals. After you extract the gold from the earth, you put the gold under excessive heat, very, very, very hot ovens. And the purpose of doing that is to separate the gold, because the gold will be able to stand very, very high temperature without burning, and it's going to distinguish itself from all other cheap metals and cheap material that is mixed with the gold. So that's the linguistic meaning. And indeed, Allah is running us through the fitna for the same reason. This is why Allah adopted this word to make it an Islamic expression. Because it's a very accurate description that Allah wants to distinguish the golden quality people from the people who are made of cheap metals. And in Arabic, we say, الناس معادن. الناس معادن. People are like metals. There are some people who are golden quality metals, and other people are cheap metals. The quality of the cheap metals. Some people are even cheaper than dirt. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running us through the fire and the heat of fitna to separate us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم فضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم على القاعدين درجة وكلا وعد الله الحسنى وفضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين أجرا عظيما درجات منه ومغفرة ورحمة وكان الله غفورا رحيما. In Surah An-Nisa, verses 95 and 96, Allah is saying that they are not equal. The believers who go out and participate in jihad with their souls and money versus the believers who don't. But Allah says here that He has promised the Jannah for both. Promised Jannah for the ones who don't and promised Jannah for the ones who do. But He said that they are not equal and there are magnificent differences in ranks between the ones who do and the ones who don't. And then Allah says, بَرَجَاءَكُمْ مِنْهُ وَمَغْفِرَةً وَرَحْمَةً. Huge differences, huge ranks with huge differences in between. And Allah is subjecting us to this so that we show which level do we belong to, which metal we belong to. Are we going to be doing like the foolish spider? Or are we going to be doing like the one who relies on Allah? The one who will never treat others the way Allah is to be treated. Will never rely on others the way he or she relies on Allah. Will never trust others the way he or she trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ثبت في الصحيحين عن أبي سعيد الخدري أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الجنة 100 درجة أعدها الله للمجاهدين في سبيله ما بين كل درجتين كما بين السماء والأرض. It was reported in the two correct books, the book of Muslim, the book of Bukhari and the book of Muslim, that Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it was narrated by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, that the Jannah has 100 ranks. Those 100 ranks are special ranks, special 100 ranks prepared for the ones who participate in jihad for the sake of Allah. The distance between every two ranks is equal to the distance between heaven and earth. So the ones who don't participate are like the ones who are standing on earth, and the ones who participate are like the ones who stand on the stars. So that's how much difference. We see those people on those ranks like we see the stars today. This is how much is the difference in ranking. And you know, the example of the stars and moon is a beautiful example. Modern science shows us that we have 200 billion galaxies existing today. 200 billion galaxies. If Allah wants to reward the believers, how about every believer getting a galaxy? If Allah's showing us now, we have discovered 200 billion galaxies and I'm being accurate. You don't believe me, go to, for example, Wikipedia and look it up. So far we have discovered 200 billion galaxies. What? Allah, if Allah wants to give you a Jannah, why not Allah giving every believer a galaxy right now? Actually, every human gets a galaxy. We have 7 billion humans, so we would end up having 193 billion galaxies left without people to take. So think of it that way. Think of it, maybe if you don't want to say a galaxy, every galaxy has 2 billion planets. How about every one gets a planet? But, you know, everyone can get a galaxy. Think of it that way. And this is why the example, when Allah says the difference between you who don't participate in jihad and the ones who did, is like the difference between the heavens, the earth, and the star. You will see them, you will see their galaxy, you will see their planet in the day of judgment, like you see the stars nowadays. And this is why Allah is subjecting us to fitna, to see who belongs to where. The surah starts expressing that clearly in a very strong way. The first ayah of the surah, as soon as you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you get the challenge word, the expression of a challenge. Alif lam mim. Ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yaftanun. Alif lam mim. No one knows what they mean. But they feel like, scholars have said that this is an expression of challenge. Alif lam mim is an expression of a challenge. Nobody knows for sure, but this is how they came to a conclusion by examining the Quran. They have found that in the Quran there is 25 surahs that start with the word Alif Lam Mim. Only 3 of them don't start. 25 surahs start with the word Alif Lam Mim, and then the Quran is mentioned right after the Alif Lam Mim in all of them except 3 surahs. Surah Maryam, Surah Ar-Rum, Surah Al-Ankabut, which we are exploring today. They don't follow Alif Lam Mim by mentioning the Quran. So at the first 22 surahs that have Alif Lam Mim and then the challenge of the Quran, they say it's a form of a challenge. But Allah is saying to the non-believers, this Quran is composed out of alphabet. Alif Lam Mim, alphabet. And you have equal access to this alphabet like Muhammad. Okay, so if you say that Muhammad have composed this alphabet to produce this fake Quran, why don't you fake a Quran like it? Muhammad is one person, you are so many. Okay, use Alif Lam Mim to come up with a Quran. Not even a Quran. Come up with a word, with an ayah, with 10 ayat. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make it easy on them, to give them the final conclusion, Allah said in Surah Al-Isra, Ayah 88, كُلَّ أَنْ يَجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say that if jinn, ants, and everybody, every creation, gathered themselves together in one unit, working hard, a team work, to come up with a Quran like this Quran, they will not bring a Quran like it. People go to journal, people go to schools and get college degrees. And then they go work for a journal or work for a publisher to publish things. And they keep learning and trying. They make the first publication, it's bad. They learn from their mistakes. Then they make the second publication and they learn. And they develop the skill of publishing and the skill of authoring. After perhaps 20, 25 publications, then they produce something decent. We are talking here about a man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who did not know how to spell his name. This man, his first publication ever is the Quran. How could this be? How could this make any sense to anyone? How could a man who doesn't know how to spell his name, his first publication ever, and he has never been to a kindergarten or a school or a university, his first publication ever is the Holy Quran, that has secrets of nature that were not the scientific secrets of nature that were discovered only during the past century, that has projections of the future. How could this happen? It's impossible. So Allah saying, you guys saying he authored it? Okay, Alif Lam Mim, author, use Alif Lam Mim to author. So it's a form of a challenge. Now the other 3 surahs, scholars said they are also a form of a challenge. Surah Maryam, Alif Lam Mim. Surah Maryam, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, and Sad. I made a wrong statement. There are 25 surahs of the Quran that start with these letters. These letters, not Alif Lam Mim. They start with Ha Mim, with Qaf, with Kaf, Ha, Ayn, and Sad, with Alif Lam Mim. Those 25 surahs, and everyone is followed directly by the challenge of the Quran. Because Allah is saying the Quran is made of Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, and Sad, is made of Ha and Mim, is made of Alif, Lam, Mim, is made of these letters. Why don't you use these letters to produce a Quran like it? Except the surahs, the Surah Maryam. Allah followed Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, and Sad by the challenge of giving a Zakariah, a baby boy, when he was very old and his wife is very old. They were way expired, and Allah overrides the laws of nature and gave them a kid. And followed by the challenge of Allah giving Isa alayhi salam to Maryam, a mother without a father, overriding the laws of nature. Here is another form of a challenge. And then in Surah Maryam, in Surah Al-Rum, Allah is following that by the challenge of غُلِبَتْ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَغْلِبُونَ, that Allah is making a statement that the Roman Empire now has been defeated by the Persian Empire. And in Bibrisimim, in less than 7 years, the Roman Empire would defeat the Persian Empire. When the Persian Empire defeated the Roman Empire first, the Kuffar of Mecca went to tease the Muslims, telling them, the Persians who worship fire, idol worshippers like us, defeated the Romans who are people of the book, just like you. And they were bragging. So Allah revealed this surah. Allah said, this happened, yes, but in less than 7 years, the Romans are going to defeat the Persians. Abu Bakr Siddiq made a bet with Allah before the bet was declared haram, with a lot of unbelievers, that in less than 7 years, the Romans will defeat the Persians. And it happened. In less than 7 years, it happened. And it happened fi adna al-ard. It happened in a place that being identified in the Quran as the lowest elevation on earth. And modern science proved that this place was the lowest elevation on earth where the battle took place. And this, just in this particular ayah, because of this challenge, 2,000 people came to Islam. Why? They said Muhammad is not dumb to make such a statement in the Quran. And this statement is related to two nations, two superpowers that he has no control over. How could he jeopardize his religion? Because if this didn't happen, they would say, your Quran is wrong. Just like Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tabbat. When Allah is saying Abu Lahab is from the people of hellfire. And if Abu Lahab would become a Muslim, then that is a proof that the Quran is wrong. And after this ayah was revealed, Abu Lahab lived 17 years. He could have been a Muslim during that, like all other people, especially that he was the uncle of the Prophet. But no, he died as a kafir just because Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tabbat. How could the Prophet put at risk his message, betting on somebody to die as a kafir after 17 years, and betting on the superpower of the Roman Empire defeating the Persian Empire? So here is the challenge. And then the surah we're exploring today, it has the challenge of fitnah. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, that Allah is ridiculing. أَحَسِبَ, Allah is ridiculing the people who think that Allah will leave people, claim faith and quality, fooling Allah by cheap lip service, saying we are of the golden quality, and Allah will leave them, making these claims without testing them. Allah refuses the people who think that way, and he's ridiculing them. And Allah followed this ayah by saying, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We have tested the people before them, and we will test the people now. We will test the people after that, and Allah will show, demonstrate the quality of every single person and what he or she deserves. What he or she deserves. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what is the purpose of this life and telling us ahead of time what are the questions of the test. Very merciful, very easy test. These are the questions and these are the expected answers. You know, go ahead and write down these answers. Don't write them down by your hand. No, write them down by your deeds. And then, as a result of you passing this test, you get an everlasting happy life. If you come to Allah with an X amount of deeds, and Allah gives you infinity reward, which is Jannah, infinite everlasting life. If you divide any number by infinity, you get zero. So the ratio between our X amount of deeds to the ratio of the reward of Allah, which is infinity, X over infinity is zero. We come up with zero deeds. Our grade is zero grade compared to the reward that Allah gives to us. And if you reverse this, you come up with the opposite. That the reward of Allah is infinity, and what we do is X, any number, infinity divided by any number is infinity, which means that the generosity of Allah is infinity. This is our Creator. This is our Lord. This is the most merciful Lord.
And this is what he expects from you and me. Why not follow what you said? Why not abide by his guidance? Why not? You would be a decent person in this life. People will love you for your kindness. If you follow temptations, people will despise you. Why? Why not? Why not be a decent person? This is all what Allah is asking. To pass the test is to be a decent person. Nothing else. No cheating, no betraying. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Oh, you who believe, don't betray Allah, don't betray His Messenger, don't betray the trust that Allah has given to you. And know, وَعْلَمُوا, know that your money and your children are nothing but fitna, nothing but a test. And Allah, are you going to treat your money and your children the way Allah has to be treated? Are you going to value your money and children the way Allah has to be valued? Value them is okay, loving them is okay, but if you love them the way Allah is to be loved, then this is where you get in trouble. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah has infinity rewards, infinity, infinity, infinity. How can you accept the limited and give up the unlimited? How can we do that? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إني دعاً فقول آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين وعلي بفضلك يا ربي كلمة للحق والدين انصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين. اللهم عليك بمن عاد الإسلام وحارب المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم غيرك يا رب العالمين، من لهم سواك يدفع عنهم. اللهم احمي أحياءهم وادفع عنهم، اللهم اشف مرضاهم، اللهم فك أسر سجنائهم، اللهم تقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء يا رب العالمين، وانصر إخواننا المسلمين في مصر وفي السودان وفي كل أرض وفي اليمن وفي سوريا وفي كل أرض مسلمة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا وثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا، وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر.
الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
Make straight lines, fill in the gaps between the hearts and between the body. Shaitan loves to go in these gaps and make them wider and wider. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألف لام ميم. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. أم حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون. من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم. ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه، إن الله لغني عن العالمين. Allahu Akbar. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور، الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا، ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت، فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور، ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
جزاك الله خير شيخ علي. Brothers, we all have to we should know that all the brothers they are coming from khutbah, they are wallets here. They're spending their time in here, Allah give them a lot of rewards. There are a few announcements I will give you it very fast, inshallah. First of all, the SAT program, that is starting next Friday.